introduce my brother Steve St. Clair to you. Many of you know him, some of you don't. Steve and his wife Dottie have been serving in the Philippines for a long time. I can remember.
And you're old.
And I'm an old guy. But in my opinion, it's always a red letter day when Steve and Dottie are back at Fenton Crossing. We're just so thankful that their schedule and throw back to the United States allowed them to spend one Thursday morning with us. So, Steve, thank you.
Good. It's good to be with you. Want to think about the idea of discipleship this morning. When the Lord was wrapping up his ministry on earth, he says in the end of Matthew, "Go and make disciples and teach them and baptize them." And as we think about that, I used to think of the idea of a disciple as somebody who followed, that's what that meant. And so it was some years back I was studying and realized that a disciple is not somebody who follows, but somebody who is taught by the Lord. And so when we make disciples and we become disciples, we're people who are learning about the Lord Jesus. And it's a great thing to view discipleship in two ways. One, like the guys who came down through the roof, and the Lord says to them, he says to the man, "Their faith has healed you." And so for many of us, we can look back and we see people whose faith has healed us. And so discipleship is about being healed, and who does it for you? This morning, I'd like you to try and think about that as we look at other things. Who lets you down through the roof? Who does the healing and the teaching in your life? And that's a great thing, a good time to say thanks. Usually at this time, I say thanks to Pearl Harris, who was my teacher when I was this big, scary thought, and down at Kossuth. Who teaches you? Who disciples you? And it's really important to think about, and who do you disciple? Who do you facilitate so that they can come to the Lord and walk with him? Because as missionaries, our goal is to be facilitators, to bring people to Christ, and to see them learn about him and be obedient to him. And it's good for you to think about who you're discipling, in the sense that I remember there was an old man at Emmaus Bible Chapel when I was in high school, and if I saw him on Friday night at Young People's, he would often say, "You need a car?" And he'd give me the keys to his Buick for the weekend. In my family, that was a status symbol, because my parents didn't always give me the keys. And so, but I sensed that he cared for me. And the result was, years later, I loved the Fellowship of Believers because I knew I was cared for there. And so our story today is really about discipleship. I want to show you just a clip here, or clips. This is my grandson in the front. He decided he should be in the missionary picture. He lives in Wisconsin, and someday you'll see him either in the NFL or the jail. He's up to here on me, and he's 3 in that picture. He is a huge person. And anyway, he's with us for this. In this picture tells us a little bit about the Philippines, where we work and live. The complication here is 7,000 islands and about 50 to 60 languages. And so it makes it very difficult to interact throughout the islands. The idea is we divide the islands into 3 sections: Luzon in the north, where we lived for about 30 years, Visayas, the central islands, and Mindanao. Down at the very bottom on your right is the city of Davao, and we've lived there for the last 15 years. Put this picture in because it's a little story of discipleship. These are 4 kids and their dorm parent, which is me, and they're doing something really great. They are losing to me at risk, and this is good, because I don't win much anymore. The four kids, the reason they're in this picture and they're significant is that they were discipled. They met for morning prayer as well as risk. And all of them are useful in the Lord's work today. The assistant director of the school is in the green t-shirt. The guy in the brown shirt, or the guy on the right in red shirt, is with Child Evangelism in Washington State. And the two blonde guys have both planted churches of 300 or 400 people in the Philippines that are sending churches, sending people out to all the islands. So, discipling young people has paid off. It's a great blessing for me to see them now, and they would be my mentors, although they would remember back when I was their mentor. In 98, we moved to Davao. That's me pretending to be an administrator at the school. And this is Faith Academy, the school for missionary kids in Davao. This is a quick trip to the Philippines, done with music, which sometimes doesn't appear. And from St. Louis, we go to Chicago, and then across to Japan. Sometimes we go through Los Angeles. It's about a day and a half to 2 days of straight flying done like that. And then we go from Manila by smaller craft down to Davao, where we live. It's about 750 miles from the main city. It's a little clip about the city of Davao where we live. See something about the transportation. A lot of it is those little tricycles. No seat belts. And not too many traffic rules. You're sort of free and independent as you move through the intersections. These little buses are sort of a main, you pay a dime and you can ride anywhere in town on one of those. And the computer occasionally sticks. Okay, this is Faith Academy where we teach. In the center and in the top is a picture of a young man from Colombia. And his parents are involved in the banana industry, came to Faith Academy. And when they left about 4 years ago, the parents threw a dinner for the staff of Faith Academy. And at the dinner, his father stood up and said, "Because you have discipled our family, we are all closer and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ." And so that's part of the ministry of discipling at Faith Academy. Those are eighth graders acting like eighth graders in a tree. This is a game of hockey played in 4 inches of soapy water. It's a great game for kids because it's a mess and everybody falls over. This is a skit we're doing for outdoor education where we're going to introduce ourselves. These are some pictures of the kinds of things I do. And I hope you can connect these to discipleship. The snake is about a 16-foot snake we found when we were building a new building on campus. And we do look-alike days, and I usually pick a student who is having trouble pairing with anybody, hence Mickey and Minnie Mouse on look-alike day. And on the upper left, I'm teaching the hula. I'm very bad at this, but it's one of my responsibilities. That's for one of the dress-up days. I teach geography, history, and Bible. What a great treat. The kids make their own globes. Those are all student-made. And it's a very successful course. Kids go into international studies, and they're ready. This is Bible Fellowship, Davao, where it's a church made up mainly of urban poor, and we minister there. It started in our home. Church does baptisms, like it says in Matthew 28, and we go down to the ocean. baptized people, a pharmacist, a security guard who's now a worker at Bible Fellowship, and a lady from the city treasurer's office, and a leper. And we had the privilege of having him come, and we got him into treatment, and we got to wash his feet during the summer. What a great blessing, because we talk about washing the feet, and we don't get to do it very often. So we worked with him, and still do. This is coming out of the water after baptism, and then we celebrate. We have outings like you're going to have in 2 weeks, except all we eat are yams, because they're cheap, and we cook up a big pot and sit and chew yams and hang out down at the beach. We dedicate our children. We encourage parents to think about the importance of saying we want our children to love the Lord. It's a women's eating fellowship, except we're eating on the floor, and they're having a good time. They just did that Sunday afternoon, kind of impromptu. These women are special because only three of them have husbands. Most of them have husbands that are either philanderers and have several wives or have just left altogether. And it's a heavy thing to put it together. Poor in the world, yet rich in faith, two of the ladies from the church are singing here. We have a great custom. We clap before you sing. The advantage of this is no matter how bad it is, people show appreciation, and the purpose of that is that what's good about singing in church is that you do it. You're bringing it to the whole group, and that's what we applaud, and then we do a lot of special music. These are the young people who taught DVBS. They go to a 3-day training, and then they come down to Bible Fellowship. We had about 300 kids at DVBS, and the next week, we did it again at Valuk at an outreach and had another 300 kids. And so the young people and the teaching are really important. This is the chapel, and this is Valuk, the little extension chapel. These are the DVBS kids at Valuk. We had 300 in that little shed, and so we lay out tarpaulins that represent rooms. And you go to the yellow or the blue tarp for your classes, and that works. About 40% of those kids have two parents. The others have one, and maybe 10% have no parents. These are young people acting like young people. And we put a strong emphasis in the fellowship on going to school to try and get an education and move along. And we celebrate everybody who passes a grade. So we do graduation for 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, like that. This is on Fridays, we try and minister to homeless people. They come to the church, take showers, and have a short gospel presentation, do their wash, and we give them a bag of cooked rice. This is a thing called a proclaimer, and it's a dramatized presentation of the gospel. It's great. All of you techies would love this. It does solar and battery and crank and anything else you can do to it to make it play. And it shares the life of Christ. And we play that when people are taking showers and doing their wash. And some people play these in their stores. And it's a great opening for the gospel, proclaimers. It's a picture of a lady listening to the proclaimer while she fills out her papers. Most of our people don't have birth certificates or marriage certificates. And if you wait too long, they're really hard to get. And so Dottie spends a lot of time helping these people get these papers completed and hanging out with little kids. This is an effort to try and train some of the believers to make an income. They weave these baskets out of strapping from packages. And the trick is to get them to not only make it, but to save capital when they sell them. This gives you a little sense of, they're right on the street, they live right here, and they're making these baskets, and they keep their kids in a box. We have a quick picture of this. They just leave them there. That's their only home. They don't have a home. They're there while their folks try and make a couple of baskets, which they go on to sell in the market. It's a neat income. It's a way for people to care for themselves. And because they don't keep out the capital, it's a hard thing to maintain. We have to support that. This is Gilbert and Len Soner. They are the full-time worker and discipler at Bible Fellowship. Dexter Calextro taught the adult Sunday school class. Alberto Dulong worked with young people. One of the problems we've had recently is that we've had a fair amount of flooding in the Davao River. And this is the things from the house of our full-time worker. His home was flooded. That's his son in the muck. This is the inside of their house. That's the bed and the floor covered with mud. And here they are, smiling and cleaning up. 2 days later, he spoke at Bible Fellowship. One of the other things that we got involved with recently was a typhoon came through in the center of Mindanao. It never does that. We're outside the zone. And so it destroyed a lot of stuff, and it killed 1,000 people, ruined a lot of farms and other things. So the believers wanted to help out. And some believers, primarily from Florida, got together some thousands of dollars and sent them for relief work for us to handle. We got the believers together, and the man in the center, June Ducott, was a godly leader, and he really led this relief effort. If you looked at the pictures downstairs, they were in that. Here are all the people. We sent supplies for housing up in dump trucks, and this is the crew of people who helped distribute that, and they're taking it into the chapel. They distributed food goods, rice, and clothing. And here are some of the believers sorting out the clothing and the foodstuffs and preparing it so that they can hand it out. Here they are handing it out at the chapel. They were able to care for 2 months, rebuild the houses, and feed 60 families. And there are people going home with their food and their roof. And here they are remembering the Lord like we did this morning at the chapel. Let me tell you a little bit more about that food relief, because they did something really great. In relief systems in Asia, usually the people who give the aid, the government and Red Cross and things, the people who give the aid steal about half of it. They take half of it and resell it. And so that's a problem. The believers, when they finished building 60 houses or repairing 60 houses, they took the money they had that was extra and they repaired City Hall and the public school. And non-Christians looked at that and they said, wow, this is different. They've got this extra money and they give it to us for what it's intended. And they were thrilled. The attendance in the fellowships there has tripled to several thousand because of the good work of believers. That's a thing to think about. The good work of believers, and not just the funding, has really made that work grow. This is Gilbert. We'll pray for him that he'll stand strong. He's leading the fellowship while we're away. This is a little clip that somebody made about Dottie and I. We'll look at it briefly. That's my wheelchair. Spirit Week. My Bible class. My social studies class. Basketball team. This is our ultimate frisbee team for Sunday afternoons. Medieval day. More music. Young men on the journey. Computer work, probably Facebook. Wordless Book, Gospel Cube. Gilbert works with the young people. It's a track we use a lot. It's one way to contact people with the gospel. It's in Cebuano. This is young people playing ping pong with different rules. Music, Dalyuk, outreach, Dai Sunday school class, a baptism class. This is my high school boys Sunday school class. This is the ladies class. Men's class, and a cute kid in the neighborhood. Some of the young ladies who grew up in the chapel teach Sunday school, and each Sunday we remember the Lord like we do here. It's a very central part of our fellowship. I want to talk a little bit about discipleship. That's some of what it looks like here. I'd like to tell you the story of Erdi Perez, Erdolfo. Back in the 60s, I was with international teams, and we did literature work to open doors in downtown Manila. And one evening, we were handing out a pamphlet at the university. At the University Belt, there are several universities, and we got into a discussion with a little man. We got in an argument, and after we argued for a little while, I kind of sided with him, and as we were breaking up, about 9:45, he said, "This is good. Could we go on next week and talk about this some more?" So I said, "Sure," and I went to his house, and the next Monday at 9:30, we met, and when I got there, it turns out he's the head of the religion and ethics department at a Catholic university. And we all sat down and he said, "Here are 12 of my very best students. Tell us anything you want." And so for about half an hour, 40 minutes, I shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what it meant to know that you were born again. And so after we finished sharing that, they said, we argued till about 1 in the morning, which is great. College students do that, and I enjoy it. And so that went on, and they said, "Let's go back next week and do this again." So I came back a week later, and they let me share freely about the good news of Jesus and the complete salvation that he offers us by his grace. And then we debate. When that came to an end, I said, "Next week will be our last week." Felt like we were doing more arguing and less growing. And so at the end of the next week, I said, "If any of you would like to know more about this, you come talk to me and we can go on." And as we were leaving, one young man came to me and he said, "I'm really interested in this. Can we talk some more?" His name was Erdi Perez. I gave him a New Testament. And I said, "You look at this week. Next week we'll meet at your house. And you tell me what you think and ask any questions and we can read and talk." So the next week we got together and I asked him, I said, "Well, what did you think when you were reading?" So I'd ask him to start in John. And he said, "Well, it was the New Testament you gave me was stolen. I left it on my desk, and it was gone at work." And I thought that was Filipino for "I haven't read it." But so I asked him, "Well, how far did you get?" And he said, "Well, I got to Acts 8. See, he didn't know that you're only supposed to read the Bible a chapter at a time, like we sometimes think. And so he'd read the whole book of John and half of Acts the first day he had it. And that resulted in weeks of Bible study and discussion. And finally, one day when Dottie was out getting dessert, He said, I'm ready to make this commitment. He said, what commitment are you talking about? And he laid out the gospel very clearly. He said, I'm ready to be one of these, a New Testament Christian. And he made that commitment and was clearly born again. A few weeks later, I got a letter from him. It said, come to San Juan Gospel Chapel. I'm going to be baptized. So I went down, and we held hands. Boy, that was a new one for me. We held hands at the Lord's Supper, and then he was baptized. And I asked him afterwards, Ertie, why did it take you so long? Because I kept pointing him toward the scriptures in Acts where people got baptized, and yeah, it was okay, it was okay. And he said, when I first trusted the Lord, I was told that it wasn't by works, but it was by faith that a man was born again. And so I didn't need to do anything else. And then as he was taught discipling at San Juan Gospel Chapel, he realized that he needed to follow that obedience. And so by being discipled, he chose to be baptized and was a significant man for God. He worked for the government. And he worked in National Grains, and they transfer you every 2 years to try and fight corruption. And so here he is, going around the islands, and everywhere he goes, he finds a group of believers. And he ministers with them. And he's a useful man in that ministry. And it was great to see. And finally, he was restationed back in Manila for a long period of time. And he started a church in his wife's place. He and his wife, he actually had a girlfriend, and he said, can you tell her, can you tell my girlfriend about the Lord? And so we came and had a Bible study, and she trusted the Lord. And I thought, yeah, okay, of course she trusts the Lord. He's a good guy. No wonder she wants to be like him. The fact is, she really trusted the Lord and was transformed. And the two of them had a neat, godly home. And in that neighborhood, they started a little New Testament fellowship at Navotas. Then they came in contact with neighbors in the next town and started another assembly. So they planted two assemblies. And so here's Ertie Perez, who had come from a broken family, come to know the Lord in the scripture, was discipled, and now he's planted two assemblies and helped in several others. After he retired, he moved to Australia. And we didn't hear from him very much, but he was in an assembly like this. He grew as a Bible teacher and a leader and an elder. One day I got a letter from him. We have a guy in our church, internet, who wants to marry a girl from Davao. Can you help us with this? So I said, sure. So we met the girl, and she came to our house. We had dinner with her. She's a wonderful young lady, but she wasn't a believer, and Dottie led her to the Lord, and she became part of Bible Fellowship. Shortly after that, her husband-to-be came and visited. That went well, and he went back. Then we get a letter, Ertie is coming. He's coming to do business in the Philippines, and he comes through Davao, and he baptizes this girl. What a weird circle of faith. And he's going to be her elder in Australia. And he baptizes her. She continues in faith, goes to Australia, and is living as God's person there. And Ertie comes by and teaches at Bible Fellowship maybe every other year and encourages us. This is a young man who was discipled, who has made lots of other disciples and is an encouragement into the work of the Lord. Timothy says, teach young men who will be able to teach others also. I hope that some of your fine leaders here at Fenton are really working to plug in young people so that they can be useful teachers, pleasing to the Lord. Okay? Disciple young men who will teach others also. One other quick story about a little lady. Her name was Demetria. She came from the province. She was a mess. She's wandering around in the park. She made some friends, and they brought her to Bible Fellowship. One of the things that happens in discipling is that people bring people to the Lord. And so they brought them to Bible fellowship, and Demetria trusted the Lord. But she was really a loose cannon. And she'd get so mad, and people would say, you know, you're not married to the guy that you're living with. Oh, yes, I am. She wasn't. And someday she got so mad at the Christians that she would come and stone the church at Bible fellowship. And so she was a problem for us. She had professed Christ, and she had been brought by other believers. And now she's stuck. What's she going to do? Well, shortly before we left, this is a few years ago, she came to church and broke down with the women, broke down during prayer and said, Lord, don't let Satan keep a hold of me. Let me be a person for you. And we left. We didn't know the end of the story. When we came back, she had gone back to her real husband. She'd gone back to the village where she lived, and she had started a Bible study that was actually remembering the Lord. And everybody called her Mama Demetria, because the change was so dramatic in the discipling in her life and in her commitment to Christ. So with Demetria, so with Gilbert, and so with Erdie Perez, people who were discipled are changed and are useful. Let's think today about helping people change, helping them be useful and pleasing to the Lord. I would like to suggest that it's not enough just to survive as believers, but to really bring people to Christ and open the way for them to share and teach others. Let's pray together and thank Him for our time. Father, we bless You because You're the Lord and You've loved us. We're challenged because You do want us to make disciples. Pray that we would love those who disciple us, and we'd think of opportunities to disciple others. We ask for Your blessing in our lives and Your changing in our lives. We thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.